Welcome to Disney A, the Canadian-themed Disney travel podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Brandon.
And I'm Krista. Yo.
Yo.
How you doing, Brandon?
Oh, you know, pretty good.
Yeah? Yeah?
It's a holiday weekend.
Yeah.
And it's Sunday.
Yeah.
And I've been drinking.
Yeah.
What have you been drinking?
What have I been drinking? Well, I was drinking a Bradberry beer from our local brewery.
Bradberry is pretty
rad. Bradberry's so good. But now I'm just drinking a neutral.
Oh. No.
Yeah.
I'm drinking gin.
Yeah.
But we've been drinking a whole lot of stuff. So,
it's all good. What were we doing?
Well, I mean, nerddom encapsulates a lot of different things. And recently, we have gotten into wrestling.
Which is so weird.
It is a little weird.
Especially for me.
Yeah. So we watched SummerSlam.
We watched SummerSlam. And then you decided today, it's Sunday, that we should watch it with a drinking game.
And drink we did. So,
here we go. There we go. Yeah. So that literally just ended. But, and we switched over to this.
So you do have a favorite wrestler, though. So you should probably talk about
it. I have two favorite wrestlers.
I feel like that should be, well, our combined nerd thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm good with that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So my favorite wrestler is Danhausen.
Yeah.
This is actually how you got me to watch wrestling.
Explain Danhausen.
So Dan... Can you?
No.
So this is actually how you got me to watch wrestling in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
You told me about this wrestler and you're like, okay, he's one of like the comedy ones. And his whole shtick is that he's kind of like a vampire.
Kinda.
But like white face paint. And he's like, but he's funny. He's like a comedy guy.
He's a comedy wrestler.
He's super goofy. And his thing is that he's really evil and really nice. And
very nice, very evil.
Very nice, very evil. And he puts curses on people.
But like the
but
curses
he can also
work.
Lift curses off of people.
Well, yes. And his claim to fame is that he lifted the curse off the New York Knicks in their recent championship
success.
Playoff drive, yeah. And they won. So
exactly.
You know, that's
he's very funny. I watched him before I ever watched him wrestle. You were watching a thing, and I was kind of like watching with you. And he did this thing where he was like pretending to disappear, but instead he just like ran away. And I was just like, it's so dorky and goofy that I love it.
Yeah, he is dorky and goofy, and it is hilarious.
Yeah. So anyway, I enjoy that greatly because I love me a theme and a shtick and a gimmick. So.
Yeah. And he wrestled tonight, and it was awesome.
That's why we were watching. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
So that was super fun. Yeah, is that your nerd thing, too?
Yeah.
Combined nerd thing?
It was pretty good SummerSlam, actually.
It was fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
I enjoy. And the announcer was making fun of him for being, what did he say, a failed theater kid?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I love the theater kids, okay?
So that's like, why it works.
Yeah. So I was like, so I enjoy that. Speaking of drinking, what are you drinking?
I'm just drinking some gin.
Yeah. I already told you I was drinking neutral, so. Brandon.
That's me. I point at myself every episode.
That's true, at the beginning of every episode. We don't have a new show to talk about, but we do have a new movie to talk about, but we're actually going to make that the theme of our whole, like, our main topic. So let's get to the new movie later.
You know, you want to know why it's the theme?
Why?
Because Spider-Man's super popular.
Spider-Man is super popular. I think we're going to talk about that during the main topic.
But why
is it super popular?
I don't know.
Before we get to that, are you good to go to the news?
There's probably a lot of news also.
Uh-huh. Like I said last time, we recorded and we were like, hey, there's probably going to be news coming out of Comic-Con. And then guess what happened? There was news coming out of Comic-Con.
We made a serious mistake and recorded.
I know, but it's because
before Comic-Con.
I know, but we had to like take time for me to edit, and it was like the scheduling. Okay, let's go to the news.
Disney A News Update.
Okay, Brandon. First of all, do you have any other news to talk about?
I just want to say San Diego is a lovely city, and I would like to go back.
I said
not just for Comic-Con, but like also for
Comic-Con. I said that too, but I'd be like really concerned about because we heard like crazy stories about trying to get into Hall H and stuff.
Oh, and we could talk about that.
Okay, let's talk about San Diego Comic-Con first of all. Overall, I think we should talk about Marvel Hall H last.
Okay.
So do you have any general stuff to talk about or other news to talk about?
Well, I do have firsthand experience.
Yes.
With San Diego Comic-Con.
What year did you go? Do you remember?
It was almost 20 years ago, unfortunately. That is messed up.
Wait, I remember you doing that.
Yeah. It was 2008. It was the same year that we went to Disneyland together.
Well, we went at the same time. We didn't go. Yes. Yeah. You wore my Tinkerbell wings to get to me.
Well, I got Tinkerbell wings from Comic-Con.
Yeah, and then you picked up two pairs.
Yeah.
So you gave myself a pair and my sister a pair.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you were a very tall man waiting in the Esplanade with Tinkerbell wings for us.
As one does. As one does. Anyway, San Diego is a lovely city. Comic-Con in 2008 was very busy. I believe it is more busy now.
So, you were telling me stories. When you went, you didn't do the big hall, like the Hall H. But you went with your dad.
Hall H was a big deal back then, 20 years ago. It was a big deal. My dad did Hall H. He got up at 4 in the morning. I was in my mid-20s and said, no, thank you. And did my own thing.
Yeah, and you ended up having a great time.
I ended up going to a bunch of small things. There was a lovely Gears of War voice panel that I went mm-hmm. to.
I do love the voice panels always.
I met some people from like G4 television back then. They were like the nerdy video game television show back then. And then I went to a random Spider-Man video game panel that there was like 40 people in the room. And then Stan Lee walked in and
unannounced,
like super unannounced, and like took over the panel. And
the whole time you were like, what?
They had a small Q&A because there was 40 people in the room. And this kid came up and was like, I drew a picture of Spider-Man. And Stan Lee brought the kid on and sat on his lap.
For like the rest of the panel.
For the rest of the panel. So that was really cool. I don't know if you get that experience in San Diego Comic-Con anymore.
No. It's really cool you went when you did, though. But meanwhile, your dad did like the big Hall H stuff.
He did a big Hall H. I don't know what the big thing was that year. I did see some like side major things, like I was in I don't even know what the second biggest hall was.
Okay.
But I saw a Dexter panel followed by a True Blood panel. In the second biggest hall, and I didn't have to like wait in a super line for that or anything.
That's pretty cool. I really like True Blood. I don't think we actually ever finished it.
And then the coolest thing that I got was like a random ginger ale bottle from a booth.
Oh, yeah.
That if you scanned the QR code, well, I don't even think QR codes existed back then. I don't remember what the impetus was.
Yeah.
But you got sent off on this scavenger hunt that if you followed all the clues and you got like a thing at each station on the scavenger hunt, which was also pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
But then you ended up at a parking garage where they were screening the pilot of Fringe, which is
that's so cool.
A pretty famous sci-fi TV show that premiered back then. And they give you a free t-shirt and this whole thing. Like, Comic-Con's a big deal and they give a lot of free stuff.
Yeah. Do you think they still do?
Yeah.
I want to watch some general we watched some coverage from Hall H, of course, but I want to general watch some coverage. General coverage. We'll high five that. okay. I actually have it on my bucket list to go to Comic-Con one year.
We will do it.
I'm very concerned, though, because it's like, I think you have to make a choice. Do you go to the big room and stay there all day? Or, and how do you do that? Or do you do all the stuff like you did?
Yeah, there is two different, it's basically two different conventions. You got Comic-Con and you got Hall H.
Right.
And Hall H each day, like, it's all weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, Saturday Hall H is a host unto itself.
Right.
And they've tried different things. I don't know if they'll ever get it quite right.
I think unless they kick everyone out, they're not going to.
Yeah.
So you were telling me about some things.
So this year, well, and this has been a continuing thing. Marvel's big panel was at 5:30 p.m.
And it was late.
And they have lineups.
Yeah.
Where you can get first access, an armband, to go into your panel of choice.
Mm-hmm.
But the trouble is, they do not clear out the room between panels.
Right.
So if someone lines up in the general admission line at 3 a.m.,
right,
which is not unheard of, or noon the day before, which is not unheard of.
That's insane.
They will get into Hall H, and they can just camp out there all day. Now, there's no bathrooms in Hall H. You have to exit to go to the bathroom.
And that loses your spot.
So it's an interesting thing. There is discussions of like wearing diapers and things like that. Like,
that's wild.
It gets very serious business. And Hall H is a big deal. All your biggest panels are in there. And this year's Marvel panel was a big deal.
Yeah. Before we get to that, though, let's talk about some of the other stuff that came out and the stuff leading up to Hall H.
Sure.
So we did have, first of all, it wasn't for Comic-Con that was released, but it was during Comic-Con weekend that it was released. We got a new Clayface trailer.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. DC is trying their best.
Yeah, well, this being of another DC trailer, Lanterns, the show. So, first of all, what did you think of the Clayface trailer?
It's going full body horror, which is, I'm here for it.
I mean, I think it's really cool. It's coming out at the right time of year.
It is an October release, yeah. So yeah, that is cool.
Looks freaking freaky, but I think that's the point. So, as long as they pull it off, awesome. I also still maintain that the Supergirl trailer looks great, and we haven't seen it. So what does that tell you?
We are part of the problem on Supergirl, I suppose. I'm sad that bombed as hard as it did.
Yeah.
That's a hard bomb.
It's really tough because we've talked about it before. We do not live. Well, we actually have a theater now, but that doesn't get first run movies. We were out of town when Supergirl came out. I actually don't think it's come here. So we have to make a point to go to another town. So if it's a really, really big thing that we really want to see, our word of mouth is going to be
like
really, Spider-Man.
Really good.
Like Spider-Man. We're going to do that. Otherwise, we're not going to. And unfortunately, Supergirl was part of the fodder in that.
Yeah.
We're part of the problem.
I would like to see it still.
I still really want to see it. And I've heard that, like, you know, it's actually, like, enjoyable and everything. It's just oh my God, amazing.
I'm sure it's fine. It's probably better than Aquaman.
Well, I mean, can you get a lower bar?
Yeah, Morbius.
Well done. Not Morbius, but well done. Just that joke was well done.
Also, apparently Jared Leto is a big jerk, and you should watch the BBC documentary.
Oh, I haven't seen the BBC documentary. I did not know there was a BBC documentary about this.
Yeah, apparently he's a big jerk.
I've heard that he's a big jerk.
Like, probably Big Jerk doesn't cover it.
I've heard that he's incredibly problematic, actually.
A creepo.
Ew.
Yeah.
Didn't he, like, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't he, like, grooming?
Yeah. That's what the BBC documentary is about.
Is that why that's like, all over my Instagram feed right now?
Yeah. Like, okay. some grooming stuff. Very problematic, age-wise stuff.
Ew.
So, yay, Jared Leto.
Yeah, the best we've ever done is make fun of him.
Yeah.
Like, that's all we've done. Yeah. Oh, well, that's super neat. What did you think of Lanterns trailer going back to DC?
Okay, well, it's interesting because we've seen two trailers for it.
Very different.
The first one was very straight-laced, for lack of a better term.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like Detective Season 4.
Like a procedural or something,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And then the second trailer was like, oh, by the way, it's also a superhero show.
Yeah, tons of superhero stuff. This, I mean, like, I was never I don't think my opinion about it has changed very much, but it feels like a very different show than what was first advertised, and I'd be more inclined to watch this one.
Yeah, I'm more on board for the show that was shown in the second trailer.
Agreed.
But I'm a little apprehensive because they had such different trailers.
Yeah, agreed.
So I'm like, was there direction or was that just the marketing?
Yeah. And that makes me nervous because I find that anytime any kind of creativity has bowed down to early public perception,
no,
it has not gone well.
Not even public perception. It's just your corporate.
Yeah, that doesn't go well.
No, you can't bow down to the suits, even though...
Sequel trilogy Star Wars.
Yeah.
Right, though?
Whoa.
You know what I mean? Like, you have all these bones for something amazing, and then you get, like, gun-shy, or you get a little scared, or you try and please too many people at one time, or the people holding the checkbook say, actually, our feedback is going this way. And then they start changing things, and then things don't work. So I think that's what makes me nervous about the difference between them. If it was a conscious thing, and I mean, we'll never know. If it was a conscious thing where they're like, we're going to get people thinking this way, and then we're going to throw the superhero stuff in, and it'll be like a cool add-on.
My hope it's just the marketing and the creative was far, far removed from that.
If that's the case, then I'm fine with it. Yeah. Because I can also see them being like, we know people who are going to watch a Lantern show are going to watch a Lantern show full stop. So we can save that for the second trailer. And this first one, we're going to do like this more down to earth approach.
I can see doing kind of a gritty Lanterns introduction being kind of cool. So I'm cautiously optimistic.
Maybe both of the trailers are like not hitting it and it's somewhere in between.
I hope it's good.
I hope so too.
I don't know.
But that being said, we probably won't watch it right away, but maybe.
I mean, I have a lot of stuff. I have a lot of stuff going on. I have a lot of stuff going on.
Do I have to put a language warning at the beginning of this one?
I have a lot of stuff going on.
Okay.
You can just edit that. That's fine.
Yes, I can. All right. So we had that. And then I want to talk about some of the stuff leading up to Hall H, namely the witch stuff.
Oh, okay. Well,
because I didn't know about this right away because I was avoiding everything.
So,
but you saw it and then it showed up on my
Comic-Con is interesting. There's the panels.
Yeah.
But there's also like the trade show floor.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the big studios have their big booths and everything.
Which I think would be fun just to experience in and of itself.
It was.
Yeah.
I would do it again.
So that's why I'm like, would you want to do little stuff and just do the trade show?
That is what I did the first time.
Or do you want to figure out a diaper situation and go to Hall H?
That depends.
Oh my god, that was really funny.
Nailed it. Okay. Anyway.
Yeah.
The trade show, they had a Dr. Doom booth thing display.
Mm-hmm.
And leading up to the Hall H panel, they were showing costumes of Latverian witches is what they called them.
Yeah.
And there was a different color every day.
Three, I think.
Yeah, there was three different colors, and then on the fourth day it was Doom himself, the full costume, very lovely, with his green hood and his doomy self. So
what were the colors of the witches?
Well, there was a purple one.
Yep.
A yellow one.
Yep.
And a green one.
Yep. Now, I want to come back to this green one in just a minute.
Okay.
You said there was the full costume of Doom.
Yes.
So we've seen what we thought was a Doom costume before at the end of Fantastic Four after the after credits scene.
We did, yeah.
What did you notice about?
Well, so the mask of Doom in the Fantastic Four post-credits scene was very smooth. More akin to the witch costumes, not akin to what we've seen of Doom in both the trailer and his full costume in on Comic-Con.
And I'm going to ask you another question. I already know the answer to this, but just like for the sake of me asking you the question, who directed the post-credit scene?
The Russos did.
Who would have had access to the costume at this point?
They would have. Like, it's all purposeful, but it is said that Robert Downey Jr. was actually in the costume
for that, heard that
post-credit scene. So I don't know how to take that, but okay. It's,
you know what, though? I love the conjecture process.
Yeah. Oh.
The mask looks like one of the witches, but the build, and I mean, Robert Downey Jr. is not a big guy, but he does have shoulders.
Yeah. It was supposed to be Doom. And I think it was. I don't know about the mask thing. So
that's interesting.
We'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Yeah. Okay. So now we get... Was there any other big news you wanted to talk about before we get to Hall H?
Yeah. Freaking Ryan Gosling.
No, that's in Hall H.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're getting to Hall H now.
Oh, okay.
We have three big things to talk about.
Yeah.
There were three big parts.
Yeah.
So, first of all, we have announced, you said it already, Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
Ryan Gosling is Ghost Rider.
Yeah, he's not just Ken anymore.
So excited. Also, this means that the entire Notebook leading cast has made it into the MCU.
I wouldn't know. I haven't seen the Ghost
Cyclops.
Notebook.
Cyclops?
Yeah. Wait, Cyclops is in Notebook?
Do you want to hear the leading cast of Notebook?
Not really.
Well, you're going to get it anyway.
Ah.
Okay, so the Notebook leading cast is Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, well, yes.
Who's Ghost Rider.
I realize.
Rachel McAdams.
Yeah, I also realize that.
Well, I mean, we also have Gina Rowland. And James Marsden.
Really?
James Marsden.
I did not know James Marsden.
James Marsden is actually great.
Is he like the opposing love interest?
Kind of, but he's like a really, really, really good, amazing guy.
But like, he's the opposing love interest. Okay.
So basically, after Rachel McAdams' character and Ryan Gosling's character like don't hear from each other for years, she moves on and is engaged to this other guy who's like the perfect guy. And then
is this before or after the weird Ferris wheel scene?
Oh, way after. Like, a decade after.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then so she's like really torn between like the smart, really, really, really good choice, Cyclops.
probably should have chosen Cyclops.
But it's funny because he's like that in the X-Men movies too. Yeah. He's like the really good guy. Yeah. Or the crazy over-the-top one who fights all the time, but it's really passionate, Ghost Rider.
Wait, so Rachel McAdams is getting recast as Jean Grey, is what you're saying? I don't know.
So anyway, we have super excited Ryan Gosling is Ghost Rider. Then
wait, are we a little touchy about Jean Grey right now? Okay, yeah.
We'll get to it.
Mm.
Then we are going to get to the second thing that happens is pretty much the whole cast of Doomsday comes out. The whole announced cast plus, we have, well, I don't know. Is she playing just Peggy Carter or is she going to play?
Peggy Carter. She's playing Peggy Carter.
Okay. So, I mean, everyone assumed she was in it.
Yeah.
We see her in like literally a teaser, but she hadn't been confirmed.
Hayley Atwell comes out with the cast.
Yeah.
She was not announced. So that is news. Yes.
Yeah.
But it was super assumed. So it wasn't even big news.
Yeah.
So,
like, and they had actually had to have a couple stages to get like everyone.
Yeah.
But it was cool because the people at the back had a stage behind them.
They had a couple stages at the back of the hall, which is, it's a big hall. So that is kind of cool.
Yeah.
We had some X-Men. We had some new Avengers / Thunderbolts.
Yep.
And
then they had a question from the audience.
We did have a question from the audience. That is true.
A guy in total, it was kind of a modified Deadpool outfit. In a Canadian tuxedo, except it was a gray-colored Canadian tuxedo.
Gray denim. Yeah.
One might even say it was jean-colored.
Well, it was gray-colored, but it was a jean material.
So Ryan Reynolds was there as Jean Grey Deadpool, or Deadpool in gray jean.
Yeah. And he had a Canadian flag
yep.
on his lapel. And he walked around the the trade show floor in this costume, unbeknownst to everyone that took pictures with him.
Yeah, he took pictures with a lot of, like, people doing Deadpool or Deadpool characters.
And they were probably flabbergasted after they found out.
I watched a
almost thing, certainly,
and a guy was like, "What?"
Yeah, so that's cool.
I like that.
That is like a Comic-Con tradition for celebrities to go in full cosplay where you can't see them,
right? And just taking pictures and stuff, like, super fun.
Very, very fun.
So he had a question. He asked a question of Ant-Man, which is why...
Well, he asked a question of everyone. And he's like, where's Thor and why is he crying?
As a reference, of course, to Deadpool and Wolverine. And Paul Rudd as Ant-Man takes the mic.
Or Ant-Man as Paul Rudd, perhaps.
Perhaps. Paul Rudd is just Paul Rudd. I mean, like,
Paul Rudd is singular, yes. Yep.
Says, well, he's a Wrexham fan, which is great.
Yes, and Wrexham had just lost a very important game, so it's fair.
That just kind of makes me want to see Paul Rudd and Ryan Reynolds.
Yes, they need... Like, Deadpool and Ant-Man need to share a scene together.
Totally agree.
Please... please.
But his whole thing was, oh, you know, are they going to announce casting? So he's kind of making a point of, hey, I'm sad that I'm not in.
Yeah, they're like, we've already filmed it. And so he's like, oh, I'm not in it. He will be in Secret Wars.
Yes.
Everybody's
going to be in Secret Wars.
I might be in Secret Wars. Like, I don't know.
No, you're So that was fun. And then we had one last announcement. Oh, they did show a new trailer. It hasn't been released yet, but I'm sure there's been lots of talk about it. It seems very dramatic and serious. And we won't talk about it too much here because news is already going on a long time. And then they had one more big news out.
It's big news, though, so it's fine.
It is. That is very true. Anyway, it seems very dramatic. And one thing it does establish is the connection between Mr. Fantastic and Doom. Like, that Fantastic Four knew Doom in advance. Because people are like, is that the one from Latveria who wasn't in the Fantastic Four discussion? And well,
The trailer does show kind of that they're together and have history or something, basically. And, Robert Downey Jr. came out in a lovely Doom style
Actually, that
suit.
Was fantastic.
Nah, and, say that again.
I liked it. You can actually check and see all of the runes on his lapels and on his cuffs and everything.
They translate
to specific
So look
things.
It up. Look it up. Yeah, we won't talk about that.
No,
here.
No, but just they no, do. So look
but,
it up.
So, like, but then the actual last news from Hall H was... They have cast their new...
This is number 3. Here we go.
Black Panther.
Which is actually the third Black Panther, come to think of it. Fourth. Because technically in the very first sighting, his dad is Black Panther.
His dad is Black Panther. It is
for about half an hour.
He has a bad day. But it is the second T'Challa.
It is. It's T'Challa Jr.
T'Challa Jr. That's what they should call him, I guess.
Well, they just said it's the new T'Challa, but then it was like, no, he was named for his father.
Yes. He is the little kid from Wakanda Forever.
All grown up.
For some reason. So.
That's interesting.
Take that for what you will on Doomsday. Stuff.
The other thing is, we have a specific date on this. So Ghost Rider we got is coming in 2027 without a date attached. Then we got a specific date for Black Panther 3.
No, we got 2028 on...
I said 2027.
Yeah,
sorry,
no, it's not 2027.
2028.
No, no, no.
But we got that this is taking the December spot.
Yeah, so Ghost Rider's before that, apparently...
But it didn't have a date.
Did not have a date.
So there's a lot of conjecture as to when that may be. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
May, probably.
May or summer.
Yeah. So anyway, that's really exciting. We haven't seen the movies this guy has, like, had the biggest roles in, like, his biggest roles or anything. But a lot of people are really supportive of this casting choice. So that's awesome.
I don't know. He seems cool.
What does that mean?
He was in a Stephen King movie, which is...
Yeah,
Long walk, yeah.
What does that mean for his Ant?
Who knows?
Yeah.
Probably nothing great. I
was like, not good things.
But I don't know.
Maybe she just wants to retire and go travel.
She can like retire and be the queen.
Yeah, pass on the mantle. Yeah. And like, yeah. That'd be great.
Cause they need a like the black, like in Wakanda, the Black Panther is not the king necessarily.
No.
It's kind of separated, so he's more like the enforcer.
Yeah, that's why Angela Bassett's character was the queen. Well,
and I actually see them continuing that. Like, I think Shuri will become the queen, and
I think I'd like that more.
Like, I think that's where they're gonna go with.
I hope
that would be my guess.
I hope so. All right, anything else to add for the news? I know we had some real big news there that we came out after we recorded.
We'll talk more about Halloween stuff next time.
Oh man, because there's stuff.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the main topic.
There was an idea to bring together a couple of regular podcasters to see if they could talk about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. We call it the Disney A Initiative.
Spoodermans!
Yeah, that's a guy.
So the new Spider-Man movie came out. Brand new day. This is... Like, the trilogy is done. The home trilogy is done. Far From Home.
It was done.
Long Way Home.
Long time. No more home.
No more home. This is the new page, so to speak.
It's a brand new
day.
Yeah.
New apartment. Kind of new identity. Okay. Consider this your spoiler warning. We're not necessarily going to be like, here's all the points, but we're not avoiding spoilers.
That is true.
Okay. First of all, what did you think of this movie?
I cannot believe how much I like this movie.
Okay. So going into this, I was a little worried about how much they were going to try and do with this movie. Because all I knew is we had a Sadie Sink character who we assumed was Jean Grey. We talked about that.
Several times. Yeah.
And I convinced you.
Yeah. Okay. We'll go with that.
Yeah. It's on. Hey, it's recorded. Yeah. It's you saying that. So we had Sadie Sink's character, we had the Punisher was going to be in it, we had the Hulk was going to be in it, and then we assumed there'd be some other random things. We saw lots of different enemies, and we're like, okay, is that going to be like a montage? What's going on? We were trying to place it in line with what was going on with, say, Daredevil.
Yeah.
And then we had, like, emotional stuff.
Because it is in New York, so it has to.
Exactly. And, Kingpin did reference Spider-Man.
There was also a Kingpin poster in this movie.
I think I missed that. Yeah, I think there was. Okay.
There was.
Where was it? Just like on
just somewhere on the street.
Go Easter eggs. I love it. Okay. We had a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was a little concerned about how they were gonna pull it all together.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Seemed very overstuffed.
It really did.
From the conjecture of what was in the movie.
Yeah. You think they pulled it off?
I absolutely do think they pulled it off.
Okay.
They found, like, a northern star or a guiding light or a thread that, like, ties all these characters together. Yes, they had a montage at the beginning where they just recreated a bunch of Spider-Man cover shots.
You know what I do like, though? I like that a couple of the bad guys came back randomly later.
Yeah, in their own way.
Yeah.
But that was fine. So, like, a lot of that casting news was just for that montage.
It's true.
So that was okay. But there was a lot going on in this movie. And they tied it all together with the theme of basically loneliness and
identity
and belonging.
This was like an emotionally heavy movie.
It is very emotional,
which... I mean, I'm not talking like No Way Home when we have the Aunt May scene or anything like that, obviously.
Well, I mean, it calls back to it
and it's like the aftermath of it and the weight of it, and like,
which is very cool. They do not cheapen the ending of No Way Home.
No, they don't.
By just moving on from it. It's like the full impact of the choice that Peter made.
Yep.
In that moment, and like 4 years of him dealing with that and trying to just be Spider-Man.
Yeah. And it turns out when you try and ignore a part of yourself, it doesn't go well.
No, it doesn't. So it's very impactful. And it's also very popular.
It is very popular. I'm going to get to that in just a second. First of all, what did you think of the acting jobs by these people?
Well, I think they all did their best acting roles in this quadrilogy now, I guess is what you would call it.
I guess
Tom Holland, he's 30 now, which hurts.
At least now he's playing a 24. Wait, no, he's only playing a 22-year-old.
It's brutal.
But he was like 28 playing an 18-year-old, so he's getting a little closer.
He wasn't 28. But anyway, he has matured into the like emotional resonance.
Yeah.
And I don't know, Zendaya did a really good
job.
Oh
my god.
She had some
that one scene.
Really tough scenes.
How do you do that scene? I don't know how explicit we want to be here.
We'll talk. I'm just doing the overview here. So Zendaya did really good. Frick, Ned.
Ned is like one of my favorite parts of this.
He is in it less than a lot of the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
But like he was better.
Oh, absolutely. He was amazing. And I mean, I've always liked him, but he's always been like, oh, that's fun. He's cute. That's fun. But I was like, oh, he matters. Like,
no, it was really, really, really good.
Yeah.
It was, the acting was very, very good.
What did you think of Sadie Sink?
Okay. So Sadie Sink is the new character. They made a big deal about her character being a secret, like, what is her character? Blah-de-blah-de-blah. She's coming off her big Stranger Things season 5 finale.
Where she runs in slow motion,
She's running up that hill.
Running up that hill.
I think Sadie Sink was awesome.
I really liked her in this. I liked this take on her character of... Jean Grey.
That was a terrible drum roll. But yes, it was Jean Grey. She is Jean Grey.
And when they said her name, we were in
No, they did not say her name. They had it on a computer screen.
Yes. Okay, when the name was first confirmed.
Elaine Grey.
Then they said her name after that.
Yes, but...
But when they first said it, the murmurings around the theater, I was like...
Don't get this confused. We were in a little tiny small town of a little tiny small theater that had, I don't know, 20 people in it.
It's true. And like,
there was
maybe audible not murmurs. The most pop culture, like,
we live in redneck Southern Alberta, and it was in the heart of that.
Yeah.
And
there was murmurs.
There was still murmurs.
That's why I was like, oh, that's cool.
No, like, it was a big thing. And like, we were sitting there before the thing started, and the dudes in front of us were debating whether it was going to be Jean Grey.
One was adamant it was Jean Grey, and one was adamant it was not.
Well, one of them lost.
Yeah, and right away, I almost laughed out loud really, really hard, because the one who said that it was, he like whacked him. That's great. He's like,
yeah.
Like, I was right.
So that, like...
I think that's the Gooey's nicely.
You can say what you want about them keeping it secret and what blah, blah, blah. Like, it was obvious to us that are paying attention.
Yeah, the only reason you said it might not be is because it's so obvious.
To us that are paying attention.
Yeah. I agree.
But to Joe average moviegoer that just wants to go see Spider-Man, because we're going to talk about this, but Spider-Man is him. And people will just go to see a Spider-Man movie because it's Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And they'll also remember, oh yeah, I remember X-Men 20 years ago.
That's exactly what I was saying.
30 years ago.
Yep.
And hey, that's that's that lady from the X-Men movies.
Oh, they must be making some new X-Men movies. Hey, well, that's pretty cool. Maybe I'll start paying attention to other comic book movies and superhero movies now.
So, I think they did well with that.
I have absolutely no problem that they kept this a secret because it had buzz. And, like, the fact that there was a reaction in our middle of nowhere little town where we drove to go see this tells you that there was buzz.
There was buzz. And she did a really good job. And
oh, my gosh. Her,
like, seeing her being kind of the villain for most of the movie was very interesting. And I think it points to the importance of, well, along with the theme, it's like belonging and not being by yourself, but also the mentorship aspect.
Totally.
There's no Professor X.
Nope, there's no role model at all.
In this universe. Nope. And it's going to point to the importance of the X-Men and that leadership.
Right.
When they come together and you have Charles Xavier in the X-Mansion getting attacked by Jean.
Yeah, let's
like,
not.
Like, it's all together.
For even 1 second, think that, like, Jean Grey's character here is a good guy. I mean, ends up in, like, sympathetic.
Super sympathetic.
Sure. Oh my god, for sure.
But she does some bad, really horrific stuff.
Yeah, it's like super dark.
Yeah.
And like has no qualms doing it.
No. She thinks she's in the right because she has the power to do it. And
because she's focused on her goal.
Yeah. So you need that strong mentor character.
Yeah.
And it's showing the importance of that being not existing in the 616. And so I really like the whole lead up, like, right, with a shared universe.
You can see that it's like moving towards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So part of our whole thing with this, like, introducing a character like Jean Grey of all people in a Spider-Man movie was all these, like, your average person being like, oh my god, X-Men, yay! X-Men might be the second most popular super... Well, I mean, like, unless you went DC and went Batman, I guess.
No, X-Men is the most popular superhero team.
Okay, so
you got X-Men, number one. And then you got, like, Justice League and the Avengers kind of battling it out for third.
Sure. But
there's
we
no number
had
two.
An X-Men movie in a while. At least haven't. Not a good one, even for a long time before that. Other than Days of Future Past was amazing.
Days of Future Past was very good. But
no.
they've had a lot of X-Men movies.
Right.
Because they are very popular.
So, we're going to talk here. They've also had a lot of Spider-Man movies.
They have, yes.
We're going to talk about the popularity of this movie in particular. Before we do that, let's just... Who's your favorite Spider-Man? Okay, hold on. Like, four people who have no idea what we're talking about. There are three.
Peter 1, Peter 2, and Peter 3.
Peter 1, Peter 2, and Peter 3.
Yeah.
Okay. Peter 1. This is, like, who our favorite probably should be.
No, Peter 1 is Tom Holland.
Oh, yeah, that's right. All right, right. Okay, hold on. Let me go back here. Peter 1, Peter 2, and Peter 3 is in reference to No Way Home. You gotta okay.
Yes.
Peter 2 is who our favorite probably should be as elder millennials.
Yeah.
This is our Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3. From like the 90s, late 90s.
Okay, well, I'll just lay it out.
Thank you.
Like, because you're muddling the point here. Peter 1 is Tom Holland because it's No Way Home and it's his movie, so he's Peter 1.
Yes.
Peter 2 is Tobey Maguire. He's the old guy on the block.
He says he looks like a youth pastor.
He kind of does. He's the OG from your Sam Raimi Spider-Man trilogy.
Yep.
And then you got Peter 3, Andrew Garfield from The Amazing Spider-Man. He only got two movies.
He did. They canceled number 3.
Because
or didn't even get off the ground, really?
Yeah.
They had a plan, but I don't know if they even started pre-production.
It was a problem.
But The Amazing Spider-Man duology. Let's call it a duology.
Duology.
Because then it sounds on purpose.
Yeah.
Okay. Who's your favorite Spider-Man?
Spider-Man? Or Spider-Man actor?
Ooh. I was wondering if you'd catch that.
Yeah. Because
there's
so,
a difference.
Yeah. We've talked about this before.
We have. If you are new here, though, I do want to say one thing. I actually had to make... I've said this story so many times. If you are not new here, sorry.
Mm.
I had to make a rule one time.
We're sorry because we're Canadian.
Also true.
Yeah.
Yay.
Sorry.
Sorry. I had to make a rule one time in one of my classes because in grade 10, there was almost a fist fight about who the best Spider-Man was.
I mean, fair.
So I had to put in their course outline, and I even talked about it at their grad. Every other class that I taught that group in, every other year, it would be like, make sure you bring your materials. Number two, respect the classroom. Number three, we don't talk about Spider-Man. Number four.
We don't talk about Spider-Man.
No. Oh, okay. Didn't really work that way.
I am no Lin-Manuel Miranda. I cannot write a song.
Yeah. Because it almost came to a fist fight. My point is, people care.
Oh, yeah. Spider-Man is...
People are passionate about Spider-Man. Who's your Spider-Man?
Well, it's swiftly becoming Tom Holland, but I'll still die on the hill of Tobey Maguire.
I'm sorry, I'm going Tom Holland.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm not arguing with Stan Lee.
Mm.
Stan Lee said, the best Spider-Man was Andrew Garfield.
Yes.
The best Peter Parker was Tobey Maguire.
Yes.
And the only one who could do both was Tom Holland.
Yeah, he's in the middle.
And if this movie taught you nothing, it was that the two
parts,
gotta
be both.
They have to be both. So therefore, it's Tom Holland. And I know I'm a bad elder millennial.
No.
But it's Tom Holland.
No.
Literally, what? The point is that he's both Spider-Man and Peter Parker, and they have to be together, and he can't separate one from the other. It's not the only point, but it's one of the main points.
No, it's pretty much the main point. Well,
and also, are you going to argue with Stan Lee?
And this movie might push it over the top, but I'm still holding...
You're arguing with Stan Lee.
I'm still holding a place in my heart for Toby.
You can hold
Toby.
A place in your heart all you want. I also hold a place in my heart for Tobey Maguire. This was like some of the first, other than Batman, I guess I always watched Batman movies. This was like the first superhero stuff I watched, and I liked it. That being said, I also hold a place in my heart for Andrew Garfield because I think he's an extremely talented man who did not
He got a raw deal.
Yeah, he didn't get his due, and it's not his fault.
It's not his fault, but like...
That being said, Andrew Garfield, I appreciate in musicals more than I appreciate a Spider-Man.
Well, if his Spider-Man had been more successful, would he have got Tick, Tick, Boom? Probably not.
No, because he'd be like on the superhero path.
Yeah. This fourth Tom Holland Spider-Man might have...
You're just not ready to give up.
I'm not...
You're not ready to
give
up.
I'm not quite...
Even though that's kind of the whole point.
I'm not quite ready, but...
You can be wrong. It's okay.
He's right there.
I understand that you're not willing to accept the point of the movie and that you want to argue with Stan Lee.
I still want to see old man Toby in one more.
Oh, I don't disagree with that.
I want to see him. I bring him back.
I'm totally
anyway,
fine with that.
But why... Why is this argument so important?
This is like literally like we're not actually arguing about this, but like
no,
we're fake arguing about this. But like people actually are like really passionate.
Why do people care about Spider-Man so much?
I keep asking you this, and I like Spider-Man. Don't get me wrong; he's not my favorite superhero.
It's very interesting. We're in an era of the MCU not doing so well. The last couple movies that came out, Thunderbolts, Fantastic Four.
Which is interesting because people have always said, well, make good movies and people will come to them. Those were really good
movies.
They were
very good.
Especially, like, I really enjoyed Fantastic Four. Thunderbolts was amazing.
Fantastic
people
Four.
People still didn't go
Fantastic Four was the best Fantastic Four movie that I could hope for.
Mm-hmm.
Thunderbolts. Who knows what that would like? I didn't know what that was going to be going into it, and it was like really,
amazing.
Really, really good.
People still didn't. It just still didn't make enough money.
It made okay money.
Yeah.
Spider-Man's gonna outgross that in his first freaking weekend.
Okay, so can we talk about that for a little bit? The money that we're making here.
So, Spider-Man popular.
Very.
We knew that.
Yep.
this movie broke the preview record. Your Thursday previews.
Yep.
Bigger than Endgame.
Which is wild.
Well, I don't ever heard of Endgame.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Let's just like broke we've that. Talked about this before. The MCU was in a singular place for Infinity War and Endgame. Endgame moments, like, they're literally re-releasing it in theaters.
Yeah.
Endgame moments are some of the, like, most iconic movie theater things in our generation.
You can go back and look at the clips of people watching that in theaters, and it was a...
I'm sorry.
It was a cultural moment.
You have
moment.
Cap catching Mjolnir like yeah, that. Yeah. You have your Avengers Assemble. You have your On Your Left. Like, you have those things.
And, like, people were... worried about spoilers for it, so they were going hard.
That's part of the thing. People have been excited since Infinity War ended.
Spider-Man beat that Thursday.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Then Spider-Man beat that Friday.
Yep.
And there's no other movie that's close to these.
No. Okay.
And this is a solo movie. Yes, Hulk is in it. Yes, Punisher's in it. And hey, they have really good parts.
Also, we did anticipate there'd be someone else in it. We were wrong as to who the someone else would be.
Yeah, there was no Deadpool. There was no Deadpool.
There
also.
Was also no Deadpool. There was no Daredevil.
There was no Daredevil.
Daredevil, though, like, we thought it was going to take place more in the prison situation. With the way the movie went, it wouldn't have made sense for Daredevil to be in it.
No. It honestly wouldn't have made sense for a lot of these characters to be in it.
That's true.
They kind of made it work.
Yeah, you
anyway.
Know what? The whole, if you're, like you said, they had the Northern Star of this, like, idea of belonging and loneliness and identity and things like
and
that.
Daredevil,
and Daredevil has done that.
He's already figured that out.
Yeah, so he can't be in
it. So he can't be in it.
Man.
Punisher hadn't figured it out.
Punisher hasn't figured it out.
He has now, though, I think.
Well, if he hasn't, he's a lot closer.
He's working towards it.
I think he hasn't come to the end of his arc, but he's, you know, he's on his arc. I think he's figuring some stuff out. Also, the Hulk, you have to bring in the identity thing because it's like his identity is so tenuous.
It is tenuous.
That, like, I don't know, anyone messing with his brain, things could go really badly. Maybe.
And they did.
But there were some freaking cool scenes with it.
The best Hulk scenes in the MCU. I will...
No. Okay, they might technically be the best, but not my favorite. My favorite is still I'm Always Angry.
Yeah. That...
Or is that a Bruce Banner scene?
No, that...
The mid-turn with the punch. Like, come on.
That 6 seconds
That's
or
my
whatever.
Secret. I'm Always Angry.
Is,
and then he does the turn.
Is super,
that's my favorite.
Is super epic. But, like, this was the best Hulk action scene.
I'm not mad at that. If you say Hulk action scene, yeah. I'll get it. If you're just saying Hulk scene, I'm like, because I love that so much.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know where I was going with this.
How popular it is and how much money it's making.
Yeah. So... Spider-Man, a solo movie, like, it is a solo movie, no matter how you cut and slice it and who's cameoing.
No, you're right.
Not.
Those are cameos. They are not, or secondary characters or whatever.
Supporting characters.
Yeah.
Is on par with Endgame, which was the pinnacle.
Yeah.
The pinnacle of the MCU, which was, like, the biggest franchise in the world.
Do you think it's going to surpass it?
It's going to be neck and neck, which it doesn't matter if it
does
or not.
That's super exciting,
which
though.
Is crazy.
It's super exciting.
We're so back.
Oh my God. Is that not so cool?
But why? Why Spider-Man?
Oh, I keep asking. I've asked this since Tobey Maguire's era.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't dislike Spider-Man. I like Spider-Man. I have the Spider-Man merch. I was fully Spider-Man to go.
Well,
but
hey,
it's not my favorite superhero. It's not even in my top three.
So here, I will answer the rhetorical question that I asked.
And I keep asking you legitimately.
It's because you say it's not your favorite superhero. He's probably like 50% of people's favorite superhero. But the other 50%, he's probably number two.
Or in the top three.
Yeah. That's why.
So here's my question
for you. He crosses every demographic. But he's true four quadrant.
But why? What makes him four quadrant? That's what I keep asking.
He's just super relatable and underdog, but also awesome, but also really good person. So
you know what I will tell you? I enjoy the Tobey Maguire movies. I enjoyed the Andrew Garfield movies. I enjoyed the Tobey Maguire ones more. But still, Tom Holland makes me like Spider-Man more.
Yeah.
Like, as a character.
Yeah.
And I think it's because he walks the line between being both. Mm-hmm. Right? Super relatable, underdog. His problems are in high school. Everyone has problems in high school.
That's where it started.
Okay.
Everyone can relate to having problems in high school. Mm-hmm. Almost everyone. But
if not, you peaked in high school, and that's a problem, too.
That is a problem. But even the people that peaked in high school probably love Spider-Man.
Yeah, but why?
Because he's Spider-Man.
Yeah, see, that's not... no. Is this idea being the friendly neighbor?
Literally.
So it's interesting because I actually do like that friendly neighbor and that super relatable thing. It like, makes him like, oh, he's like in my top three or he's in my top five or something like that.
But he's wholesome and
quippy.
He's kind of funny and he's an underdog, which everyone can root for the underdog. But
oh, that's true.
He's the underdog that always overcomes. He's always kind of holding back to be the underdog. And then when push comes to shove, he's also him.
I'm not like arguing with any of that. I just have a tough time. Okay, who do you think the second most popular MCU character is? Because I have
Wolverine.
Oh, I totally forgot about Wolverine. Okay, that's fair. Third, I think it's the Hulk.
Hulk is very popular.
Hulk can't make a movie that stars just
Hulk.
Him.
Hulk cannot like. Rights and all that stuff we've talked about aside.
Aside. I'm just talking about like the character Hulk cannot be the main character.
They've tried doing Hulk solo films before. It's tough. It is tough.
So how can the third, arguably the third most popular Marvel superhero not make a single good movie? And Spider-Man's like hit after hit after hit after hit, sometimes literally with whips and stuff.
Spider-Man almost writes himself, though.
How does Hulk not write himself?
Oh, Hulk's very complicated. You can't compare the two.
That being said, Hulk's had some damn good moments in this movie.
Yeah.
What do you think? Can we spoil like a significant plot point here, or should we not?
Well, I would imagine so. We spoiled the biggest one with Jean Grey, so.
Well, no, but that everyone knew that.
Hmm.
Recognizing Spider-Man, the Hulk.
Okay, so we have a few things going on. No one knows who Spider-Man is anymore because we have the remnants of No Way Home.
Yep.
The spell being cast for everyone forgets Spider-Man, including his best friends and his girlfriend and all that. Big deal. He becomes Spider-Man, like, he embraces it.
Yep.
Embraces it fully. That's his whole thing. He saves Punisher's life on Staten Island, apparently.
I love how they did that, by the way.
It's the new Budapest.
Oh my god, that is the new Budapest.
He has some...
Wait, that's the new Budapest. I love it so much.
It's the new Budapest. And he has like a thing with the new Avengers, apparently. Mm-hmm. Yelena is his big contact.
So that's our other person who's in it.
Right.
We figured there'd be a small little random other person. It's Yelena. Which also makes sense. I don't know why anyone would not understand this. It's been 4 years of him being like...
And she's the leader of the new Avengers.
Yeah, you could say whatever you want. For sure. She is the leader. I mean, the only other person would be Bucky, but he's like, doesn't want that.
So. No, he's fine.
He goes off on his own and does his own thing. So yeah, it's Yelena. So when they have conversations about what's going on in New York, it makes 100% complete sense to me.
Yeah. So that's fine. He's got that whole thing going on. And then the plot happens and he's trying to figure stuff out. And he reaches out to Bruce Banner on science stuff and everything.
Yeah, fake name, doesn't recognize him.
And it comes together where Jean Grey mind controls the Hulk, unleashes the real Hulk.
Hulk with a capital H Hulk. Yeah.
And Frank Castle is like, I don't want that smoke.
It's true.
Which is fair. He's just a dude.
Yeah.
Anyway, and so we have some really cool scenes with that. And Spider-Man's losing to the Hulk.
Oh my God.
As he should. The Hulk.
Yeah. Everyone loses to the Hulk. That's kind of the whole thing.
That's been everyone's big problem with the Hulk in the MCU. Because he's only lost. He's literally only lost.
I mean, I understand that, but, like, he's only lost with, like, asterisks. I mean, his movie's notwithstanding. Like, he kicks butt during the Battle of New York and all that stuff.
He beat Abomination in his own movie, sort of.
But, like, when else did we see him fighting?
In the Avengers movie, in the Battle of New York, he kicked Chitauri butt.
Serious Chitauri butt.
And he kicked Loki's butt.
Puny god.
Other than that, he's only lost.
But he's only really ever fought.
He lost to Iron Man.
Yeah, but in a situation where they specifically made it to fight the Hulk.
He lost to Iron Man. He lost to Thor.
Did he lose to Thor?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Ragnarok?
In Ragnarok. Yeah, yeah, but I mean, that was like...
He lost to Thor.
That was pseudo-Hulk, though.
And then he hid and would not come out.
I mean, I understand, like, that
one
I get...
He lost to Thanos.
I mean, I also get Thanos.
And well, he lost to Thanos, and then he hid and would not come out ever again.
Yeah.
And that's been his MCU experience.
And that's been his... And then he gets Smart Hulk. So I have qualms with the argument about him fighting Iron Man. They literally invented that to contain the Hulk.
Still.
So, I mean, I get that, but I don't think you can include that. You could include Ragnarok 100% for sure.
Yeah.
You can include him hiding.
He just had a string of losses, and we did not have a
solid...
So now
we have a serious...
We had one scene of good Savage Hulk in the first Avengers.
Yeah.
Hulk, that was the only Hulk smash.
Which they kind of mock in Endgame.
Yeah.
You get some good Hulk action in this one.
Yeah. He is proper scary Hulk, and that is awesome.
I think literally I like squealed a couple points during the big Hulk fight scene. I was like, oh my God. I clapped. Not the same way he clapped, but I clapped.
Like, Spider-Man doesn't need the help, but he gets excellent help from the Punisher and the Hulk being just awesome.
Yeah, so we also talked, I interrupted by talking about the Hulk fighting and stuff. You interrupted yourself talking about the Hulk fighting. But he recognizes Peter.
He does. So that's where we're going with this. The whole fight scene happens. We got really awesome stuff with the Punisher and the Hulk.
Such cool scenes.
The Hulk wins this fight. Like, yeah. He's literally gonna kill Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Like, he's gonna die. And Tom Holland's like, please don't kill me. I am worth a lot of money. He doesn't say that, but that's what the producer's saying. Please don't kill Tom Holland. We're gonna make so many Spider-Man movies.
So many.
And Hulk's like, oh yeah, Peter is friend. Because Hulk remembers Peter.
Bruce Banner doesn't.
Bruce Banner doesn't. No.
So
no,
here's
no.
my question. When did Hulk and Peter meet up as Peter? Not as Spider-Man.
Hulk met Peter during Infinity War and Endgame.
So when he was Smart Hulk?
Yeah.
Because Infinity War...
Smart Hulk is still Hulk, though.
No, I understand that. So that was during
Endgame.
Like, it
was both of them, yeah.
Because in Infinity War, Hulk never came out
at all. That's true,
yeah. I mean, unless you count the first few seconds when he's, like, falling.
It would be Endgame, because, yeah, they were separated in...
Right.
In Infinity War.
Hulk... In Endgame, Spider-Man only comes back at the very end. In the battle. So they, like, stopped to do introductions during the battle.
Yeah.
Or it would be after, during Tony's death.
They knew each other,
but it would have been from that.
Yeah, and it was long before the spell. They knew each other, and Hulk was not affected by the spell is what I would take away from that.
So I guess that's what I'm going with that, is because Hulk was an entity. So the other thing, this is interesting. Okay, I'm probably going way too far into this, but I love my nerd little paths. So we saw Smart Hulk in Endgame, including at the end of Endgame. Then he wasn't Bruce Banner, but we saw Bruce Banner in an after credit scene of Shang-Chi.
Yeah. He moved away from Smart Hulk and he put on the inhibitor.
Yeah.
He was Bruce Banner
only. And then we saw him again during She-Hulk as only Bruce Banner.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, he came back as Smart Hulk. Professor Hulk. Because he was teaching She-Hulk how to be Hulk-y.
He was also Bruce Banner, though. He was never like Hulk.
No, he wasn't. He was never Savage Hulk, but he was Professor Hulk.
Not the whole time, though.
No.
He was Bruce Banner to begin with, but until she became
He was back as Professor Hulk.
Okay, so we are to assume then that it was Bruce Banner who was in existence when this Doctor Strange's spell went off and affected everyone's memory.
Yeah, Peter. So Hulk was locked away, didn't get hit with the spell.
Just by luck, Professor Hulk
maybe?
Wasn't out.
Or he resisted it, like, because Hulk is... Hulk.
Frickin' Hulk. Yeah. That's really interesting. So anyway, we do have somebody who recognizes.
Because otherwise Peter would be dead. And then...
Hulk like lets himself fall to save Peter.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's actually awesome. So that means he loses again.
I don't count this one as a loss.
So... Okay.
It was an own goal, if anything.
But then he does revert to Bruce Banner because he falls from a very high distance and blah, 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 blah. Okay. Then we have... Punisher knows who he is, kinda. He knows what he looks like by the end.
Yeah.
Jean Grey does.
Jean Grey, well, it's interesting. Jean Grey finds out who he is. Didn't know him before, obviously, because she did not exist before.
Right.
Finds out. That's fine. But we have some interesting things happen at the end of this movie.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about the end.
Jean Grey, like, controls a square kilometer of New York, which includes Ned and MJ.
Yep. And MJ has figured out that... she hasn't figured out. She found the letter.
MJ has a conversation with Peter, and she, like, knows that there's something weird going on, but, like, is like, well, too bad I don't have these memories. So,
well,
like,
she's not as heartless as that, but yeah, she's like, I don't have these memories of you. I have
this is not working for me.
And Ned does not have this conversation. MJ does tell him to tell Peter to tell Ned, but he does not.
Because Ned is like the biggest Spider-Man fan in the world.
Yeah, and Peter Parker, Spider-Man as Spider-Man, hangs out with Ned for a little bit. That just, like, makes him super happy. But he doesn't come clean. Okay, so then we have Jean Grey with, like, I don't know how far, but a good distance, and it affects Ned and MJ.
Yeah, it's like a square mile or something like that.
Okay.
But anyway, they're caught in the brainwave of her going crazy, and... MJ starts crying.
I noticed that. She's the only one doing it.
Which is very... Everyone else is just frozen in place. She starts crying. And Ned's frozen in place. And then the plot happens.
What do you think of MJ crying here before we move on? Or is it just like, hey, that's interesting?
I feel like it's purposeful. I feel like something's going on there.
Okay.
Jean Grey unlocked the Hulk.
Yeah.
Did she unlock a little bit of MJ? A little bit?
Well, there's something else that makes me think you might be onto something.
A little bit.
Do you want to jump to the very end?
So at the very end, like, the plot happens, whatever.
Punisher's involved.
Punisher's involved.
Jean Grey's involved.
Yeah. And Peter, as Peter, not as Spider-Man, meets Ned in the convenience store.
Okay, before we see that.
Yeah.
Also, I love that scene, by the way.
Sure.
Before we see that, we have a little montage. We have...
Even Rocky had a montage. This had two montages, I suppose.
This did. But we have Jean Grey on a bus going to... Man, that's a pretty picturesque
Not really a montage, but... she's on the bus, and she's looking out the happy window. This scene super reminded me of the meme of the dude sitting on the bus looking out the happy window and the sad window.
I do not know what you're talking about.
I'll show you after.
Okay. A lot of conjecture saying she's probably going to upstate New York. That's what the scenery looks like.
Ah. Wonder what's up in upstate New York.
Maybe some kind of school or something.
Yeah. She could probably go to school. She hasn't been to school for a long time. Well,
I mean, it is. She's talked about being a kid and being young a lot.
She does seem a little gifted. She should maybe go to a school.
For gifted people?
Yeah.
Like gifted children?
Yeah.
Maybe? Yeah. So anyway, it's not even that that's not going, but she's definitely like going in, not necessarily even that direction, but she's going to an area that looks like that. So we leave her with her leaving town. Going to a little pretty place that has lots of, like, changing leaf colors and whatnot. We also, our last scene of MJ is her sitting on a roof crying.
Well, she was crying. No, she was sitting on the roof and she was kind of, like, smiling.
Or contemplative, how about?
And she's rubbing her Black Dahlia broken necklace.
Which, that she has, if you remember, randomly kept on.
She's kept on the whole time. But you have to watch the original Spider-Man trilogy to know the significance of that.
Yeah, doesn't that make you wonder, like, she knows that she always wears it, but doesn't remember why? They have a little conversation about it at the end of No Way Home.
Yeah.
She kept it on for 4 years after that, or took it off and then put it back on.
Yeah.
Maybe. Which means that unlocked something, because she was never, nowhere in that letter was like, hey, by the way.
By the way, I gave you this necklace and then it broke and it was the whole thing. Anyway, no.
So then it's like, did something get unlocked with the crying?
I feel like it, maybe a little bit.
She's not like sitting up there with her boyfriend.
I feel like it maybe a little bit. But anyway, Peter meets Ned in the convenience store.
Where he ran into him once before randomly.
Yes, and kind of avoided him.
Mm-hmm.
This time he walks up to him and he does the secret handshake.
Yeah.
And introduces himself as Peter. And
Ned
knows Peter because MJ had said Peter is Spider-Man.
Well, he said, be careful, Peter.
Yeah.
And then he's like, Spider-Man's name is Peter?
Yeah. So, like, he has a look of realization on his face. And there's some argument whether it's he's putting two and two together or if the muscle memory of the secret handshake is breaking the spell because he's also a magic guy.
I think it's six of one, half a dozen of the other in this situation. Yeah. I think it's somewhere in between.
It depends on the sequel. Whoever writes the sequel will tell you what the true answer is.
Because he first comes up and he says, hi, I'm Peter, and he goes to shake his hand because he introduced himself as Maynard before.
Yeah.
Like
the flower guy.
After
yeah.
Aunt May.
Mm-hmm.
Goes to shake his hand. He's like, okay, weird. And he goes to, and Ned shakes his hand. But then they literally do the secret handshake, which is very involved. And he looks at him and he's like, oh, Peter. And then the screen goes black. I think Ned has magical abilities. It's all under the surface. We saw this in No Way Home where he's like, it's not really honed or anything like that. But there's like latent magical abilities.
Well, he can use a sling ring, which means he's a wizard. Sorcerer.
Yeah, he just hasn't been trained or anything like that. And that's flat out why he's like, well, the sling ring isn't working because it's going to these other Peters instead and it's all this other stuff. But he's never been trained or anything like that. And he talks about how there's like family history of magic and stuff like that. So I think that's why he was able
to break the spell.
Yeah, and maybe it's a combination of the muscle memory plus the name Peter.
I think it is.
Because it's not like when he looks at him, it's not like, oh, Peter, you're Spider-Man. It's like, oh, Peter, my friend, Peter.
Right.
Yeah. And that's the difference between putting two and two together.
I hope so, but I don't know. Whatever.
No, there was like a, there was a connection there. So MJ thing might not have worked out, but we got Ned. And isn't the guy in the chair more important anyway?
I think so.
No, the guy in the chair.
So Spider-Man's popular. Tom Holland's pretty good.
What's your favorite Spider-Man movie? Is it the second Tobey Maguire one?
Spider-Man 2 is probably still undefeated, but
that's tough because I love Doc Ock so much.
This one probably means more with everything that's going on. Now, we'll see how Doomsday and subsequent Spider-Man films follow up.
So the other part of this is part of the reason why Spider-Man 2 is because it's longevity. It has staying power. This one has to have staying power.
Yeah, but the more I think about it, the more I like this movie, so that's a good sign.
I like this one better.
That's a tough one.
That's fine, but I also... You know what, though? This is not my favorite Spider-Man movie.
No Way Home?
No Way Home.
Really?
No Way Home.
I like No Way Home for the gimmick, but it's like a gimmick, so...
It broke my heart. Like, it absolutely devastated me. And if I'm, like, sitting there thinking about Spider-Man moments, I'm thinking a whole lot about scenes from No Way Home.
Yeah.
Is this one better? Almost certainly. Oh, but I didn't say which one was the best one.
As a standalone movie, it's way
100%. Better. I didn't say which was the best. I said which one is my favorite.
I taking this back to No Way Home, though, there is a moment in Brand New Day where he has to catch MJ. Do you think he learned that from Peter 3? Do you think he learned that from Peter 3? Yes.
He does catch MJ.
Yes.
And you know what? That's why I like No Way Home, because he had that moment and
So No Way Home builds on all of the Spider-Men, which is why you like it so much.
Yeah, well,
this one builds on the one that builds on all the Spider-Men.
No, and I get that. This is probably my second favorite, and that's why I'm like, I have to say Tom Holland. That being said, Doc Ock is my favorite villain.
Oh, he was unreal. Yeah.
Which is why I totally get the argument for Spider-Man 2. But I like him as this, like, confused, like, in the way he is in No Way Home.
Yeah. Well, he's also in No Way Home, so that is...
Sorry. That being said, this is better.
As a standalone, it works as a standalone and as, like, a universe builder, is very hard to do, so it is very
I like the role of the Hulk and... Punisher and
that's what I'm saying.
Jean Grey more than I liked the role of Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I like those characters more than I like Doctor Strange, but I like the way they were incorporated.
No, it super worked.
Yeah.
As a standalone movie.
Yep.
And as a universe builder.
That's hard.
It's very, very, very hard.
Okay. So I think we've established that Spider-Man is super popular. We really like this movie. You should go see it.
You probably already have, judging by the box office.
Also, okay, one more thought, and then I think we need to end because this is a very long episode. This was in the news, but it relates to Spider-Man. Wonder Man Season 2 has been canceled.
Yes. The showrunner was Destin Daniel Cretton, which was the director of Spider-Man.
How are those two related, Brandon?
Conjecture. Somewhat refuted in recent interviews, but we figured DDC is going to be tied to Spider-Man for another couple movies.
They were like, ooh, look what we made. How about we add some more money?
He's very, very good.
Yeah.
He also did Shang-Chi, obviously.
Which was also amazing.
So he's got to make Shang-Chi 2.
Shang-Chi 2.
With Spider-Man. Like,
yes! Oh my, wait, those two would be great together, actually. Yeah.
Bring Deadpool in there. I don't know. Like, just go.
Just do it.
Just do it.
If you could freaking do Punisher with a PG-13 rating, you can do anything with a PG-13 rating.
Yeah, just web his mouth.
Also, kind of loving Punisher's arc.
Yeah, it was good.
Okay.
So, yes, sad about Wonder Man. Canceled.
Unfortunately.
Very swiftly after it was renewed, which is kind of weird. Everyone seemed really excited about that project. And I keep reading interviews of people that are, like, sad that it's not going to happen.
I don't blame them.
I want to see Wonder Man and the fake...
yeah,
the fake Mandarin, Trevor Slattery, again. Yeah. Like, bring them back somewhere.
They said that that does not mean their characters are not going to show up in things.
Yeah, and also bring Madison with an I
with a Y, but not where you think.
Yeah, bring like and all three of them.
Wongers.
Yeah,
do it.
They can go on a road trip together or something.
I will watch that.
Yeah.
I will pay money to watch that in a theater.
Mm-hmm.
I do not care. Final thoughts, Spider-Man awesome?
Spider-Man is awesome.
Am I becoming a bigger Spider-Man fan because of Tom Holland?
I feel like you are.
But it's because of Tom Holland. This is what I'm saying.
And that's fair. I did read some stats that said 39% of the people that saw Spider-Man said they saw it because of Tom Holland, like exit interviews.
Really?
Which is really freaking high. Wild. Like you don't have that, like, you have the layer of Spider-Man being like super popular for demographic, four quadrant type of property.
Yeah.
But then you have someone like Tom Holland that's embodying the character, which is crazy after
Dude, who was just in The Odyssey.
Yeah.
Also.
That is true. And you have the like your Gen Z's like going, Tom and Z, Zendaya is like big for Gen Z people, and
almost all my students think Tobey Maguire is the best Spider-Man. They're Gen Z.
But they still like Tom Holland.
Oh, they totally do. It's part of the whole, like, we love the 2000s and late 90s and early 2000s
thing. They still love Tom Holland, and they still love Zendaya.
I love those, but if I'm like, dang, that's a good movie, I'm talking about the Tom Holland ones.
No, Spider-Man 2 is still
You really can, good. I mean, if you want to argue with Stanley, that's your business. I would never deign.
I would win, because he's not alive anymore, so.
Wow. Oh, my God. Too far. It's fine if you didn't understand the point behind the movie and how you want to like fly in the face of everything that it was standing for.
I will also say the action scenes and the web swinging was the best of the Spider-Man.
Wait, no, ever. I totally do agree with that.
They are on record as saying they took serious inspiration from the Sony Insomniacs.
You said that it seemed like it.
Yeah, so watching the movie, like, I had no idea. Watching the movie, I was like, oh, this is like playing the freaking Spider-Man games, which is the coolest way to experience Spider-Man,
right,
as if you're a gamer. Anyway, they took inspiration. Like, Tom Holland, Destin Daniel Cretton are on record. There's
That's
interviews.
Really cool.
They're like, yes, we took this X, Y, and Z from those games and took inspiration from that because it was so cool. And I'm like, yes.
Yeah. You said that during there, and so I'm not at all surprised, actually. That's cool that they're all like on record.
No, I recognized like literal finisher moves and stuff
that's
from the
crazy
video game that they put in the movie, so it's really cool.
I think I gotta do a rewatch before I decide if it's gonna beat out No Way Home in my favorite Spider-Mans. Spider-Man's.
It's better than No Way Home.
No Way Home
just has a gimmick.
And
the gimmick
saying,
was really good, but
I am saying it's better than No Way Home. Yeah. But I'm not. I said No Way Home was my favorite.
Mm. Mm.
I do love Sadie Sink.
Oh, and she knocked, like,
destroyed it.
She,
absolutely amazing.
She can carry the X-Men now. Like, she's really good.
Talk about perfect casting.
Oh.
I was not too sure. I loved it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, man. We could just keep talking about Spider-Man, but let's not.
Well, here's the thing about Spider-Man.
It's awesome.
William Dafoe is also a scientist.
I hear he is also something of a scientist.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what was missing from this? Where the hell was my J. Jonah Jameson?
I did kind of miss that, actually.
They literally have a newscast at one point, and I'm like, dude,
there was no Daily Bugle, and there was no J. Jonah Jameson, which kind of makes sense because they had established him as a crackpot like podcaster,
I guess.
But
he was at the end of No Way Home, though.
It would have been real nice to have Peter have
him
a job at
a
newspaper somehow.
Yeah, have like
even just be
Easter
in the mailroom or something.
Sure.
I don't know.
Just like a little Easter egg thing.
Yeah.
Even.
Yeah. So that's kind of too bad. But
okay,
anyway.
There we go. Points taken away. It's pretty minor points taken
so
away.
So it's 9.7.
9.8. So that's our show this week. Thanks, El Mule, who's responsible for the custom theme song you heard at the top of the show. You can find a link to his work at our website at disneya.wixsite.com/podcast. That's also where you can find a link to our social media accounts and our email. You can find Disney A episodes on all of your favorite podcast streaming platforms. And if you've rated or reviewed our podcast, thank you. And if you haven't yet, you should probably do that. We've got some ideas for some future stuff. Like, we have several ideas for future stuff.
Several.
I have no idea what order they're going to be done in.
Probably we'll do the first one first and then the second one second.
Yeah, but I don't know which one is first.
Oh. Oh, I see. I understand.
So my point is I have no idea what next episode is going to be.
Yeah.
One of those possible ideas.
Sure.
So I'm Krista.
I'm Brandon.
And until the next adventure, TTFN, ta-ta for now. Thanks for listening to Disney A. Do you want to figure out a diaper situation and go to Hall H?
That depends.
Oh my god, that was really funny.
Nailed it.